Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. If you have your Bibles, I would get them out, because we are about to go through God's Word, and it's going to be fun and amazing. It's going to be awesome. And we are first turning to Matthew chapter 2. Yeah, now you can hear me still, and not my breath. I was breathing heavily. Just letting it simmer down a little bit, let all the youngins leave. And the doors closing, and getting your guys' Bible out. Getting ready to go. Quiet in here. Here we go. Okay, we've waited long enough. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you did those baptisms this morning. We thank you that you've rescued us, Father God. We thank you that we're precious in your sight. We thank you that we get to hear your word this morning, because this is all about you. It's not about me or anything like that. It's all about you. That you would be made more famous by the end of this time with you than you were before. That people would yield themselves more to you. That they understand that it's not a struggle to be with you. It's about surrender. It's about surrendering all that you are to him. It's laying it down. It's being in a place of rest where you're not striving or yearning for more relationship with Jesus, because you know you already have it completely. But it's the point where you reach where you can understand that you could just have to sit and be still and know that he is God. To get them, Father God, in that place where they know that you are God, and to be still, and that they don't have to do anything to earn the love that you have for them. Because that's the place where you do more through us when we're surrendered the most. We are the least like ourselves because we are the most like you, because it is you who is in us to both to do and to will for your good works, Father God. So we just ask that right now. We ask that you get to reveal yourself even more and bless this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Cool. It felt like I was standing over there. I felt like I should say this. And this is the way God put it to me as I was standing there. So if it doesn't make sense, it's not my fault. If you're sitting there or watching on the YouTube or wherever you're watching, the interwebs, and you're like, what gives this guy the right to sit up in front and tell me anything? It's because I'm loved by a great God, and he loves you too. It doesn't matter where you came from, what your family looked like, the amount of money they had, the amount of money you have, the things that you said, the things that you did, has nothing to do with that. He loves me for me. Because when he looked down at me, he said, I love you, Caleb. And this is what he called me to do. So I'm going to rest in that so he can do what he wants to do through me. Because it's not about me. It's about him. And he wants to do the same thing in your life. Whatever that is, he wants to work through you so you can touch the world for him. That's what gives me the right to do so. Not because of me, all because of him. Wow. Cool. So, Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be there, verse 1. And the title of this message is a cool one. It's a simple one, too. The title of this message is Wise Men Come. Wise Men Come. Interesting story how I got this message. Okay, so like at the beginning of the month, I preach on the Christmas time, you know, like the corporate Christmas that we all do together, but the importance of you having your own Christmas time where you've encountered Jesus. That next day, it was a Monday, and I was about to take a shower. So when I take a shower, I bring my phone in, and I set it on the ledge, and I listen to the Bible as I'm in the shower. Most of the time, I listen to Daniel or Esther. I love those stories, so I listen to them while I take a shower. So I put the phone on there, I press play, and Daniel's playing. And I get ready to go in, and I step onto the ledge to go into the shower. And as I do so, I'm thinking to myself, what would Daniel's story have to correlate with Christmas? And as I step in, this is the words that I get. Wise men come. Wise men come. What does that have to do with Daniel? What does that have to do with Daniel? Because the wise men who came from the east had a connection with Daniel. It was a powerful thing. We're going to get into more of that in just a minute. But first, I want to read chapter 2 of Matthew. You got your Bibles, right? You guys are ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet." So now you've got wise men who see the signs in the sky and know through biblical truths about what was to come. They see the sign in the sky, so they're coming to it. Wise men come. Herod was a wise guy. Herod was a wise guy because now he's scheming. He's scheming. He says, "Oh, these wise men have come. What are they looking for? They're looking for this king, but I'm the king. Where is this king, my friends? Let me gather all my wise people around me and to inquire where they come from." And they're like, "He comes from Bethlehem." How do we know this? Well, the next verse is, it brings us an Old Testament verse. See, the Bible proves itself in its truth because it talks about itself. Like, you'll read something here, then later on you'll read something, and so it proves the prior thing. Here, they said that he comes from Bethlehem. Well, how do we know? Because next, in verse 6, it says, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Amen to that. Then Herod secretly called the Magi, determined from them the exact time the star appeared. This is going to be proven again in a few more scriptures. It's not quite clear how long it is because nobody said anything yet. He's inquired of it. We don't know the answer just yet. Then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." Lies. Lies. Wise guy schemes. Wise men search for the truth. Ooh. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And they saw the star, and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell on the ground and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream, they did not return to Herod. The Magi left from their own country by another way. Wow. These guys, these wise men, when they came, they saw the child and they worshiped him. They had an encounter with God and it changed their lives. They were looking for something. They knew they were looking for something. They had an idea what that was. But I don't think they knew exactly what it was until they came into his presence. And when they did, they could not help themselves but prostrate themselves, it says in other versions. They got on the ground before him and they worshiped him with exceeding joy. Ooh, that's kind of convicting. When was the last time that you got down on your knees in prostrate before a living and holy God and say, you are worthy. You are worthy of everything that I have. Because essentially, that's what they did. They did it in the natural, like a monetary way. They gave him these things that were expensive. Because it's like, sometimes when we are grateful to God, we just don't know how to handle it. You know, it's like, we're thankful. I don't know how to express my thanks, Lord, because everything I've ever known, when I express my thanks to the world or to other people, it's like, I give them something. I love you, so I give you this gift. Ooh. But he wants our worship. He wants us to worship him because he's worthy of it. And to get into a little thing here, when we see a nativity scene, this is why it's so hard. Because when we see a nativity scene, we normally see like the shepherd and we see the wise men in the same thing. Like even when we did our play last week, you know, we had some shepherds and we had some wise people coming down. How many know that that's not really how it went down? It's not really how it happened. I mean, you can tell by the words too, because in Luke's account, when the shepherds come, it says they came and they saw the baby who was in the manger. They saw the baby. Here they came and they saw the child that was with Mary in the house. So there is a difference there. There was a clear baby in Luke's account, child in Matthew's account. So there is a time difference. I don't know the reason exactly why the nativity scene is set up like that, but I do know that originally the nativity scene was set up for believers or people who saw them in ancient times, like in the Roman time period when they were first happening. The guy who set them up, he knew that most people couldn't read. They couldn't understand, and plus when the priests were preaching, they would preach in Latin, and a lot of the people didn't know that stuff because they were commoners and things like that, and he wanted a simple way to tell the story of Jesus' birth with just by looking at it. So when you see a nativity scene anywhere and you see all this, you can see it with your own eyes, and nobody needs to tell you much of anything. You can just see it. Oh, baby, mom, dad, shepherds, and then you see these wise men and a lot of them. But just know that that's not really the case. That nativity scene would be Joseph and Mary and the shepherds who come, because it was that night that they encountered God. But the wise men, and there's a debate on who the wise men are. Hannah got into it a little bit about their encounter with the Jeremiah, but there's also new findings now that it might have been Jewish men in a part of this coming from Babylon, because back in the old times, Jews were exiled into Babylon. And so that's where Daniel comes into it, because when he got taken out of Jerusalem, he was brought to Babylon, you know, him and all he did. And it is from that type of sect that we may have gotten these wise men. So that's how they knew, you know, about the story. They knew prophetically that there would be a star and they would see it. They knew it and they would come. All that to say, I don't think it's that important whether they were Gentiles or Jews. The most important thing is that they came. They saw the sign in the sky. They knew enough to come. They came. And it wasn't just three people either. That's another misnomer that we get, because we hear of frankincense and myrrh. We think it was just three guys who was walking over there. They just decided one day, they see the star, and they're like, oh, we're going west because we got the stuff, and we got the frankincense, we got the myrrh, and we got the gold. No. This was a big deal. This was a big thing. These were important men, wise men, because in rich people, because back then, if you were poor, you didn't read. You didn't learn how to read. Your whole life was spent surviving, where these guys had enough money to live and to spend their time reading, looking at the stars, and things like that. So these were rich men, and when they came, they probably had an entourage of people. So there was a lot of people who came with them, you know, carrying their wares, you know, women and stuff would come. One of the other more important things is the distance. The distance they came. We believe if they did come from Babylon, it was about 800 miles. They came a long way to see the King of Kings. They came a long way. But that's not farther than how far Jesus came to see them. Let that sink in there for a second. For as far as they came, for as much money as it cost them to come, for all the trouble that they went through to get there, it seems like they came a long way. And yes, they did come a long way. But Jesus came further. Jesus comes further. These guys were wise men. Shepherds came, they were simple men. And they came and saw the child, the baby. God was calling them. They came from a little ways away to come see the baby in the manger. The wise men saw the sign in the sky, and they came 800 miles to see the child. But Jesus came all the way down from heaven to come and see you. To come and see them. No matter how far you've come, you believe you've come to see Jesus, he's come even further. Amen. Okay. So going down verse 13. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and Mary in a dream. Well, actually, I'm going to skip down to where Herod comes. So this is where we get the time period and things like that. So in verse 16, it says, and Herod saw that he had been tricked by them wise magi. He became very enraged and sent to slew the male children who were in Bethlehem and to all in all its vicinity from 2 years old and under. So when he inquired of the magi, they told them a number. They didn't reveal it right then, but now they're revealing it now. Up to 2 years old. So he's going to cover all the children from 2 years old all the way down to just being born. Yeah. Evil. Evil, evil. And under according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But he dies. So Jesus and Joseph and Mary escaped and went to Egypt. The Magi went another way. Herod did evil things, but then he died. Wise men come. wise guy's scheme. Their end is the truth in the King of Kings. Wise guy's end is destruction. I want to talk to you about another encounter with God. A one that may even have more relevance to us. Could you guys turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9? You're like, wait a minute, I know this one. Why are we talking about Paul here? Why? What does he have to do with the Christmas story and wise men and wise guys and all this stuff? I'm going to get to that, I promise you. Paul, or Saul as he's put here, started out as a wise guy. He schemed. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord when he went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to go to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he be found belonging to, or so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said to them, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." Then the men brought him to the city, and we're going to skip down to verse 10. And now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And as he is seen in a vision, a man named Ananias, come and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me to you so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight and got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. You're like, great story, love the story, amazing story. What does this have to do with wise men and wise guys? Christmas time. Wise men come. Wise guys scheme. At the beginning of this, he was a wise guy. He was scheming to kill, and bring in all the believers that he could. Because he thought he was doing good by God. He thought he was going good by his leaders. He left Jerusalem and was on his way to Damascus. You almost couldn't get any further away from what God was doing in somebody's life. This shows us, no matter how far or how bad or how wrong you've lived, Jesus is still coming after you. And you can still turn and still come to him. Because Paul was right in this spot. He was killing people that God loved. He was persecuting the church with his whole heart. He knew he was doing it. He wanted to do it because he felt that's what God's will was. And he went after him with intent to do so. And he did it. And he was probably really good at it. That's why he got the mission to go do so. He leaves the promised land. He leaves Jerusalem, and now he's on his way to Damascus, which is in Syria, and he's going this way. He was doing all the things he could do to be away from Jesus, but Jesus stops him and knocks him down. He became a wise man even when he wasn't looking for it. And I want to give you this hope today, if you're listening here or anywhere else. There are simple men like the shepherds, just doing what they do. God, and people who know the signs and they're looking for God because they know they need him. And they go looking for them and God finds them and they encounter him and he encounters them. But there are also people who are running away from God and doing all they can, but yet Jesus still comes after you. No matter how far you've come or how far you go, he comes further and he goes farther to reach you. That's the hope that we have in Jesus. That's what we see with Paul. That's what we see with the wise men, and that's what we see with the shepherds. You can find yourself in these stories of the Christmas time. You need to have your Christmas time. You need to have your encounter, but understand more than anything, it is God who encounters you. Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. So you need to do that and stop wherever you're at. Stop going that way or coming this way. Stop and let him encounter you. Let him take you over. Let him be everything that he says he is for you. There is one more verse that I'm going to say that I don't want you guys to turn to, but I want you to think on this. It's 1 Timothy verse 15 and 16. And this is a hope to somebody who says, I've gone too far. I've done too much. Paul says in the first chapter of Timothy, verse 15, he says, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned... New Bible, Hannah got me one. I saw Timothy, but the first part is a little smaller. But this is an awesome Bible. Yes. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen to that. Powerful. It's not the people who are healthy who need a doctor. It's the people who are sick. It's not the righteous. It's the sinners who need a Savior. Among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. What he's saying here is, Paul is saying, you think you've done bad? I've done worse. And why? Because he called me out. So when you look at my life, you can say, man, I was bad, but Paul was that bad. And even God came and saved him. So wherever you're at, Paul did worse. He said he came for me to save me so he can do the same for you, so you can have that encounter with God. Ooh. So the most important thing you can do is surrender to God, because you have no excuse of why you don't. He was looking for you when you weren't looking for him. He was looking for you when you were looking for him. He was looking for you when you were running away from him. All the bases have been covered. All you have to do is stop and encounter him and let him encounter you. Amen. And you see the baptismal up here. You may not be prepared in the physical for it, but if you're prepared in the spiritual, if you know Jesus is your Savior and you call upon his name and you believe that he is the Son of God and you have not been baptized, this thing's going to be here all day. Even if you have to go home and get clothes or come as you are, go in and get baptized. And if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, but yet you've surrendered, you've stopped right where you're at, and you say, God, encounter me today. I have no idea what he's talking about, but I know I need an encounter from you, and I know you need to encounter me. And I have done that, and he's talking to you right now, and you've given your life over to him. When they encountered God, the wise men, the shepherds, and Paul, what I wanted to get to, but we don't have much time, is when they did, it changed their life. They came in, they encountered, they worshiped. Same with Paul. He got baptized that moment. As soon as he believed, he's like, I'm getting baptized. Then it says, it goes on, he preached Jesus to the church that he was going to persecute. He went to them and said, Jesus is the Son of God. And he preached it there and he preached it over there. It changed his life. When we encounter God, it changes our life. And it says, it's no more about me anymore, God. I've encountered you. You've encountered me. It's all about you now. And it's different for all of us. It is not the same for me as it is this with you, because God has a calling on your life as he's got a calling on my life. But me as a pastor, and Hannah as a pastor, and Nat as a pastor, and Brian, and Pastor Tom, all of our jobs as shepherds is to equip the saints so you can go out and do what God has called you to do. And we're here at this church to help you do that. You're saying, I know I've been called by God, but I don't know what that looks like for me. Come to me. We'll figure it out together. We'll pray it through. Our job is to help you get closer to God, to make him more famous in your life so you can go make him more famous to the world. The sub thing of this is, once he encounters you, you can encounter the world for him. He encountered you for a reason. Don't waste that encounter. Go out to the world so they can encounter him as well. Amen. So I just want to bless you with that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did. I thank you, God, that you're reaching people, reaching all of us, Father God. And just let that rest on them right now, that they can encounter you and that they are blessed with that. We just thank you, Lord, that if they're calling on your name this morning, let us know. Let us know if this is the first day you've called upon his name, that you've encountered him and he's encountered you. Let us know. Don't keep that a secret. Let us know. The leadership here at the church, let us know. Because it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. It is the greatest thing that can ever happen. It's an amazing thing. So you can spend eternity with him. Oh, and the saints are rejoicing right now for the people who are online who have accepted his name right now in the name of Jesus. We just seal that right now in the name of Jesus by faith. I know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys, it was awesome. It was an amazing time this morning. I am so glad to be here. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to be here. It is by you and you alone that I get to do it. And I just want to thank you for it. And I want to thank you guys for spending time with me this morning. And I hope you were blessed by it. And I hope, and I know for sure that you love Jesus more and want to give your life to him even more because you love him so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.